this meeting in order, public safety meeting of October 6, 2016. Present this evening, Alderman Frieders, Tarvis, and Cott. We have a quorum. First item of business, citizens' comments. Jim, anything, sir? Okay. Minutes for correction approval from July 7, 2016. Anybody have any questions or?
No problems.
Joel, okay. Committee okay with accepting those as presented? Okay. New business, public safety 2016-15, police reports for June through August of 2016. Any questions, issues, comments?
Nothing really out of the ordinary. Amount of dispatches we have been going to has been going up the last few years. CAD, which is our computer aided dispatching through 911, I just wrote some of the stats down for you guys. 2014, we had 11,632 CAD dispatches. 2015, we had 14,458. And so far this year, which goes up to the middle of last month, we've got 8,816.
Wow.
So we're on par to probably go a little bit higher than we did each year. You know, it's kind of the same thing with police reports. 2014, our total police reports were 1,840. 2015, it was 1,788. And so far, we're at 1,334 for the year. So our actual reports did go down a little bit in 2015, but a lot of that too is we changed a little bit of our structure on police reporting. Some of the stuff we were doing reports on, we stopped doing reports on some of the minor and low-end things that were just kind of plugging up our system. And we'll talk about it later with our staffing needs about some of the issues with our front office and stuff.
Okay. Committee okay with accepting the police reports as presented?
Good with me.
All right. Moving on, PS 2016-16, the adjudication reports for July through September of 2016. Same thing, any comments, questions, issues?
Cleared up a few questions that I had.
Yeah, no
mysteries. No longer a mystery.
Yeah, no big issues with our adjudication fines. Hearing officers are kind of, they're basically judges, and sometimes they tend to dismiss some things without all the information. Sometimes they feel sorry for people. You know, so if you look at some of the things that get dismissed in there, they're just minor things, and you know, but we haven't had anything really big on our end in adjudication. Now I know the city has with building and zoning, they've got some pretty hefty fines on building stuff, but all in all, we're happy with our adjudication system. It was a good thing to go to. And we're actually in the we're actually looking into expanding some of the stuff that currently goes to the courthouse into the city right now. We'll bring up more with that as we get going. But and also too, so you know, home rule. If we do get home rule, it'll greatly help our adjudication. The mayor was talking to city council last time that. The big thing is right now we have to have a weekly hearing, whereas for home rule we go monthly. That would be hugely a mess. And that also we could have more things that we currently can't adjudicate that we would be able to.
Super.
You know, so that's what it, you know, home rule would be a positive for the police department.
Good. Okay. Every committee okay with accepting the adjudication reports as presented? PS 2016-17, request to dispose of vehicles.
These are five vehicles that are way beyond their lifespan. A couple of them aren't even running anymore. We're just requesting that we put them out to bid as per the city policy. And we usually check with 3 to 5 of the people that usually bid on it. And we'll take the highest bid on. We usually sell them as a package, all five together. We used to break them down one at a time, and it just got too complicated.
And any money we get from these goes back to the police?
It goes into that chargeback.
Okay.
Or the chargeback on the budget. Mm-hmm. So it goes into helping us get future vehicles and things like that.
Mm. Which ones of these are clown cars?
I think, let me go scroll down to it. I think, is there one Crown Vic in there? No.
Four of them.
No, there's one. One of them is he's talking about the old red, white, and blue striping.
Oh, that's two of those are the ones.
Yeah.
Yes, the two that are back.
So we're done with contracts.
Yeah, they're the ones in the back. All the ones we're getting rid of, well, except for one of them, but they're the cars are back here in the back.
They're never going away, are they? Your next chief is going to be rocking around one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We gotta stripe one up just for old time's sake.
No, we don't. We really don't.
I always laugh when I see this disposal. We had a car, I'm going back probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years, that was on its last legs. We got rid of it. Sold it to a kid down the street from me. He drove that thing for a good 3-4 more years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've had several of them like that. We've got a couple around town, too, that, you know, the things are literally falling apart. Whereas, in fact, he bought two of them. He uses one for parts for the other one.
Is that right?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Got them for a couple $100 a piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's why they're still here and they look fine.
Yeah, we used to do sealed bids on them. And boy, that was a nightmare.
Oh, jeez.
You know, you got to go through all these sealed bids to try to, you know, and you asked, so we had all these high school kids. You know, when I was a high school resource officer, I had an unmarked Caprice that had an LT1 motor. It's really, really fast, like Corvette motor fast. And my car went to auction. One of the high school kids bought it. 2 days later, I hear something. I step out in the back parking lot, and he's doing a squealing his tires going around the whole parking lot in the back of the high school in the car that I was driving 2 weeks prior to that. You know, yeah, he got some tickets.
Okay, committee, okay with this request? I'm trying to remember, do we need to take this to City Council or is it committee approval?
It needs to probably go on the consent agenda.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because they were valued over the $500.
Okay, everybody okay with going to consent on this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, PS 2016-18, ordinance amending the city code regarding cannabis violations. Now this, I understand, we're just keeping in step with the new state law.
That's correct. We are mirroring the state law where it moves it up to 10 grams. Kathy and Jim drafted this. It's very simple. Right now, our adjudication, we can only adjudicate up to 2.5 grams. So this will take that up to 10. And, you know, the whole school of thought with adjudication is, if we don't do this, if we do cite people, it's going to have to go through the state's attorney and all that mess. And I think a lot of it is just better to keep it in-house. You know.
Okay. I think it's a pretty straightforward request here. And we really have to stay mirror what they have, correct? Right. So it's really a no-brainer.
If we don't, it's going to create three different systems for us. And I'd rather keep it into two.
Yeah.
You know, with the criminal state system and then our in-house adjudication. And,
well, I didn't have any questions on that. That makes perfect sense. On the page that you included under the code section, the statute, So public urination and defecation, it's the same fine for both? That seems unbelievably ridiculous. Yeah. Like, one is somewhat excusable, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. But the other, I think we should wipe out the first offense and make it start with number two.
I get it. We get it.
Literally. Like, I'm sitting here reading through going, oh my God, you can get fined the same amount for both. And one is, not excusable, but understandable. The other is, come on. And then the last question I had was, what's an emergency proclamation?
An emergency proclamation?
Yeah, it says you can get fined between $200 and $750. It's the last statute, 7-5.
Oh, that emergency proclamation, showing fire in a theater.
Okay.
You know, causing a riot or something like that.
All right. Now it makes sense. I'm gorgeous.
Calling 911.
Right.
You know, and saying there's a bomb going to go off in school. Although we criminally charge that, but.
Right. Yeah. So crying wolf, essentially. Yeah. Okay. Cool. That was just curiosity. Thanks.
Any questions on this ordinance? Everybody okay with going to consent with this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll put it on. Let's see, it's not going to make the next, it'll go on the meeting of what, the 25th then? Because we don't, this, the next meeting's already posted.
Yeah, yeah, the meeting's already posted.
Okay, so we'll take.
Yeah, 25th on both of them.
The last two to consent on the 25th, okay. All right, PS 2016-19, the meeting schedule for 2017. It's still a quarterly. Now, we're still good with leaving the first Thursday of each month open, right? I mean, and if something comes up,
mm-hmm.
we will post the meeting. We just need to know, you know, in advance. And but otherwise, we'll go with the quarterly.
Sure.
Everybody okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is just more from, this?
This is just committee approval.
Okay. Alrighty, old business, PS 2016-10, a police department staffing and projected needs update.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of make this pretty simple for everybody. I mean, we've got some staff studies we're working on right now that we've been compiling again. We do these every so often, but I just wanted to give you kind of the cliff notes, because we do have the meeting coming up here in a few weeks for our, to kick off our budget with our goal settings. And I think overall, on staffing with the department, we're functioning. You know, it's you know, we've had some rough years as far as vehicles, as far as personnel. Technically, we're still, you know, one thing with Yorkville, we've always tried to maintain 2 officers per 1,000 people. That gives us a full service police department with a traffic unit, a community policing unit. It gives us both our school resource officers. Right now, we only have one. And so, I mean, if we really looked at it right now, we're projecting, it's not really an official projection that Bart's doing, but we're kind of thinking we're about 20,000 people, because our last census showed 18,000 some. We got to be at 20,000 now, and that would be 40 police officers. And right now, we're currently staffed at 30 full-time police officers. We were scheduled in 2008 to be at 34 full-time officers, and we never hired the last four because of the budget crunch. So we've been locked at 30 since 2007, 2008. And right now, we don't have any community policing unit. We only have one school resource officer. We have no traffic unit. We're running a pretty bare police department. I mean, we're functioning. You know, I'm not, you know, I think if I had to prioritize right now and what I'm at, I'm still behind in vehicles. I mean, we've been getting ahead a little more, but we neglected vehicles for so long that it's not an easy fix to get caught up. And part of the problem is the new vehicles we got 4 years ago are now getting close to being, you know, gotten rid of, because we put so many miles on them that I know one vehicle we looked at went 2 weeks without being turned off. It ran straight for 2 solid weeks, 24 hours a day. So right now I still have a priority of vehicles. You know, if we can still keep getting three vehicles a year. Last year we were able to scrape money around and get it up, you know, to get, we actually got 6 vehicles last year, 3 admin and 3 patrol. You know, that was huge. Personnel, I would like to start getting people. I did ask Bart in the previous meeting for 2 new officers next year, but here's the problem with 2 new officers. That needs 1 vehicle. And the other issue is we have 3 full-time front office people. We've got the lowest ratio of front office staff out of the police departments here in the county. Mm-hmm. And right now I got 2 of them out on maternity leave. One of them's back half, and one of them's not coming back till December. So we've been filling a lot of this with part-time, you know, people that work for other cities and have done it in the past for us. So we're filling the holes, but I still have a priority of we need to hire, you know, another full, we need to get that full-time front office person back that was laid off several years ago. Yeah, so I mean, we've got a lot of, this isn't a simple fix where I can say, let's get 2 officers, because I think we could do that. But the problem with the 2 officers is that's going to add to the paperwork load that's already overstressed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a little harder to get that front office person back.
What's the front office person run?
They make like $35,000 a year. They don't, you know, it's fairly equal to an entry level public works employee, around the same level. But I mean, I can show you, I've got out some stats and stuff, but I already threw a lot of those out to you. You know, our numbers are going up. I would really like, and I know this community expects it, I would really like to see us get back into, you know, a dedicated traffic unit that can really focus on some of our traffic needs. We used to have portable, we used to do the what do you call it for the speed?
Speed signs.
No, the speed studies. We used to have the speed study equipment where you know, we could throw that out and get average speeds on the streets, and we could focus. That's all gone, because we don't have anybody to do it anymore. And
how much traffic truck enforcement are we doing nowadays? I know at one point we had somebody pretty much designated, and we were bringing in, not that you do it for the money, you
right.
do it because trucks are speeding through town, they're overweight or whatever.
Well, they're damaging our roads, and yeah. we have to pay for the damage. And
we've really gotten away from that a little yes. bit, right? I mean, yes. is that something that you would like to see us start doing again?
That would be part of that. And the other end of it too is we don't have the scales anymore. We need new scales, and since we don't have the people to run them, we didn't buy them. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we used to have that community policing unit, and You know, we used to be a lot more active in communities and stuff with block parties, and which we don't even do those anymore.
The thing is, word gets around quickly with these truckers when you've got a unit like that.
Yeah.
And here you got a nice new highway, and I don't know how many overloads are coming through here from time to time, and that's what's the wear and tear on these roads.
Well, and it's on our city roads too, because the experience that we have is the over-the-road truckers aren't following the law. It's the gravel bombers, and it's the construction-type trucks that are hauling gravel and lumber into new homes that are on our city streets, damaging our city streets. You know, those are the ones that are notorious for being overweight.
So as far as a traffic detail, does that mean you take a current officer and then send them out for like a certification process, and then they become an asset as far as that is concerned?
What that consists of, anywhere from like 2 to 4 officers that are basically like their own shift, but they don't take calls for service unless the patrol officers are tied up. But their whole job is to focus on traffic and traffic needs. They work evenings and weekends. They focus on DUIs, suspended, revoked drivers, reckless drivers. They can hit like our complaints around the speeding areas, where we can have a real focus on, you know, where it's just not a patrol officer between calls. You know, patrol officers are usually busy about half their shift between calls for service and reports and just things that take them out of service, lunch, you know, breaks.
Right.
You know, so they're usually trying to, you know, if someone's complaining, say on East Main Street or McHugh, they're speeders. You know, I might get right now out of a 12-hour day shift, I mean, I'd be lucky if I can get 3 or 4 officers there periodically off and on for maybe an hour total a day. You know, we just can't provide that service that we used to have.
So and the front office is about 30. Yeah. What's the scale cost?
Scales, it depends what you get. You know, we would want good scales. You know, I top of my head, it's probably $10,000 to $20,000, and you got to get. It's best to have 2 sets rather than one.
Okay,
that
so
way, because they go into certifications and issues, and if one falls out of certification,
right,
you got to fall back. And if you got 2 officers working, they can both take them with them.
Entry level officer is 65.
49.
49. Okay, so 50.
But I mean, you got to put in the legacy costs and all that.
Right.
And, you know, so but see, therein lies the issue, because I don't think we would have any problem with staffing needs requesting 2 officers, but the problem is the front office person. You know, there's kind of been that freeze in hiring additional employees that are not, you know, sworn. So that would be the issue. I'd say if we were going to get the 2 full-time officers, I'd have to get that front office person.
Right.
Okay. You know, the chief and I have had several discussions recently, and I told him, I said, look, we got goal setting coming up at the end of the month. At our last public safety meeting, some concerns were raised. Look at our officers, you know, properly trained, properly, you know, right equipment, so forth. That's the time we got to bring this forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I asked the chief, look, tell me what your priorities are. What do you think you need the most? So if I'm hearing you right, we'll start with vehicles. You'd like to get 3 more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vehicles, you know, we're maintaining a status quo, you know. Vehicles, you know, with maintaining the status quo, vehicles are hurting the most. You know, I'm not going to say we're not overburdened on our calls for service with our patrol officers. They're functioning, and they're functioning well. You know, it's just that we used to provide more service than we currently do, and I'd like to get back to that. And you could probably say that's a little bit more of a luxury, but the vehicles are the number one priority right now.
Yeah. And as far as personnel, is your priority the full-time administrative person, and in addition to what, 2 officers?
You know, if we got 2 officers and the 1 front office person, that would be incredible. Or if we even got 1 full-time officer and 1, okay, you know, 1 full-time office staff this year, and then we can shoot for 2 again. Now, we had it in our budget that we were going to try to add 2 new officers each year in our projections, and when the budget kind of went down, we took that out, so there's the projections aren't there.
Okay. But, you know, we need the public safety committee on board with this.
Absolutely.
When we get into that goal setting, we need this, you know, when we start voting on what we think is a priority, if we really are concerned about our police officers, that's the time we have to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it gets pushed on the bottom or whatever, and it doesn't become a priority, and we're back talking about this, you know, 6 months from now.
Right.
So And the chief's right. You know, they've done a great job considering the limited budget that they've had as far as hiring people, equipment. You know, it seems like every time you think you're getting ahead, something like the recession comes along and you just, you're back to where you were before. So, but I think now's a good time to put this push on. And like I said, the goal setting session is the time to do it. So,
you know, all our other major needs that we've been pretty much meeting them. You know, our training money, we've gotten that up. We've gotten you know, our new rules and regulations, our standardized policy procedure system, we've gotten that purchased. Larry's in the process of heading up the implementation of it, so I think that's going to take about 5 years off his life, but really all our other budgetary needs have really been met, and the city's done a good job of doing that. It's just people and vehicles.
What does the traffic detail cost?
Basically what it costs is it costs vehicles and salary.
So is it like, but like I was asking before, is it something that they go out and get certified in it and come back and then they do it, or is it something they're already trained in?
It's something they're already trained in. It's nothing that a regular patrol officer can't do. Right. It's just, this is their priority.
Right.
A patrol officer's priority is he answers calls for service, he does preventative patrols, he checks in on businesses, is in neighborhoods, and he's worried about a big picture. These guys go out and their first priority is, where are the traffic problems and how do we solve them?
So,
and then they can help, you know, with the neighborhoods and other things like that too. But
from a financial standpoint, adding two officers and then kind of dedicating some sort of detail just for traffic, and like you said, the money isn't the reason why you do it, but it's always part of the discussion.
Right.
Is there an easy way to kind of reference, well, this is how much? Mm-hmm. So, like you talk about the construction vehicles,
right,
the gravel haulers that are basically ruining roadways, which we then have to pay for. What did they get sacked with as far as fines go? How many do you think that there would be involved in this? Like, I hate to say, like, oh, what's the return on your investment? But actually, what is, I understand that it would save us money in roads, which is one way of making money. But what's the downside for the offender?
The downside for the offender is some of these fines, most of the time they're $800 to $1,000. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. We used to have the state record when Hurdle Martin was a patrol officer for overweight and back in the 70s, and I think it was like $40,000 or $50,000 fine. A lot of these trucking companies look at that as a cost of doing business. They come out and they pay cash on the scene to get the truck back because we don't release the truck until they pay the bond on it.
Right.
If a trucking firm is running 20 or 30 gravel bombers a day and they can cut two or three loads off, that's saving them thousands of dollars. They have no problem coming out and paying. They're going to complain, but it's cheaper for them to pay the $1,000 ticket.
You know. But over time, it ends up degrading parts of the roadway, right. And then we have...
And I think the overriding thing, too, is you're making our roads much safer.
Yes.
Because, you know, these guys know you're out there watching. They're going to be slowing down. You know, they're not going to be overweight, hopefully. So it's a win-win for us here.
Right.
Word spreads really quick. When you start doing enforcement, word really spreads quick.
Now, is that something that you... So say we did get the two new officers. We did get the lady up front, or male, whatever. I'm not being sexist here, just referencing historical trends. If you had those two new officers and the front office staff, and we were able to dedicate 2 to 4 officers to a detail like this, is that something that's every day that's their detail, or do you like...
No, that would be their assigned detail. The other thing they do, too, is they help fill in on the shifts when there's sick time, so there's no overtime incurred. You know, if an officer calls in sick or takes a vacation day, we can plug them in a patrol for the day.
Right, as opposed to paying overtime.
This place pulling overtime to fill in, so it does kind of help a little bit. I think legacy costs right now on a police officer, hiring them brand new, somewhere around $120,000 a year.
Perfect.
When you start throwing in the benefits and the retirement packages, and you know, I think I remember Bart saying about $110,000,
$120,000
a year.
Well, they could just never retire too. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it's just, you know, we like Larry and I had talked, you know, with goal setting it. You know, like last year it comes down, you know, roads were a pretty big priority last year. It's like, you know, what do you, you know, and, you know, that's what, you know, I got to try to maintain that balance. I mean, the police department, we are holding our own, you know, except the vehicles is a priority, you know, but we are holding our own. I would like to get back up there, but I understand that, you know, you guys have to look at a bigger picture.
Right.
and tried to figure out, okay, are the roads more important this year? You know, the police department's maintaining, you know, but it would be nice to.
Let me ask you something too. In the meantime, what about some joint details, maybe with the sheriff's department and ISP? I mean, they've all.
That's a good question. We haven't done it in a while, but we do have this criminal intelligence team, and they act like that. So, and right now it's Oswego, Yorkville, and Kendall County. So when we have high priority areas, we call them, and they focus on them. But we have used them for traffic enforcement, like DUIs and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they focus a little bit more on gangs, drugs, and guns. You know, like if we've got, we know there's a gang house and there's some minor drug dealing going on that's too small for CPAT to pay attention to, they'll pay attention to that. But we have to use them a little bit. But, you know, we have done things with ISP and the Sheriff's Office and Oswego in the past where we've assisted each other. But,
I mean, you know, I know ISP's got truck detail. Mm-hmm. They got guys that get to come out with the scales and that. And I would think the Sheriff's Department might have something of that nature too, right?
They don't.
They don't.
They
okay.
were looking to use our scales because we, right? we haven't okay. used ours. And we share a lot of equipment nowadays. They've got one of our speed trailers that we basically just told them to hold on to it. You use it more than we do, and they've been putting new batteries in it for us. So. And we told them the same. You could use our scales if you want, you know, just to keep them certified and up. But they're not workable anymore. So they're
can
looking.
Can we get rid of those? Can we sell those?
No, they're done. They're,
can't send them out to scrap. I mean, like if they're here and they don't work, they're just as much as not having them. So get them out of here and then let's get the RFP out for new scales and just.
I don't think we should probably do. We remember we did a mass disposal a few years ago. We're getting ready for another mass disposal. You know, of old light bars and old radios and things like that.
Well, you know, for citizen cars, right?
Or basements.
Along the same line, I brought up, we had a discussion at one of our public safety meetings about these speed control monitors that used to be up entering the downtown. And I brought it up at Public Works, and yeah, they are sitting there. So I'm going to keep pushing to get those reinstalled. Because you know, every little bit's going to help here.
I saw him working on the one by the park on Main Street yesterday.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah, they were over there. Dirk was working on it. He was crossing the crosswalk. And I don't think he thought I was going to stop for him. He was out in the middle of the intersection dealing with one of these things. Like, he was going to run. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I yelled at the window, I'm stopping, Dirk.
Has that thing been effective, you think?
You know, this is the million-dollar question. I remember West Chicago and all that talking about Route 59 20 years ago when they went to four lanes there, that they had the same problems we do. We've had the officers, I don't know if you've seen them, sitting in the middle lanes in the mornings on either side of the hill, like Van Emmon and up, and they pull people over and they write tickets. But 47's got such a transient population, you know, people coming and going that don't come through here, and it just feels like you can do 50 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone.
Yeah.
And we write tickets all day long, and it just doesn't do anything. So at this point, anything that could help, you know,
Okay.
I know a lot of times when people see them speed signs, they tend to hit the brake.
Yeah.
So if we can get that to work, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're going to keep pushing that. Under projected needs, we had talked previously about facility needs, and I know there's been some staff studies going on. Anything new to report on that? Or
no, I know there's currently one going on right now with looking at all of our buildings to see what the maintenance issues are. We're all kind of curious to see what that's going to come to. I mean, we know our carpets. This has been replaced here, but in our other areas, carpets are in really bad shape.
This has been replaced?
This one has. This isn't the original carpet. But we've got stuff in the police department that's got duct tape on it. And it's.
Well, I want to keep that issue.
Yeah.
On our agenda, because the problem's not going to go away as we continue to grow, and the longer we put off doing something, the worse it's going to get.
Exactly, it's going to be worse, and that's the other issue with adding people. You know, right now we're packed with what we are, and also in 2008 we had paid for plans and we had property set aside. We were in the process of getting a new police department, and it was all stopped when the budget crashed. You know, so we're, you know, that's the other issue. If we start adding people, we're going to be right back there again.
Mm-hmm. Is the idea of sharing facilities with the county out of the question completely?
Yeah, now it is. Originally, when that sheriff's office was built, they did look into a joint facility. Mm-hmm. And that would have been, you know, hindsight, that would have been the thing to do. But people didn't share services back then, and they didn't want anything to do with it. But They, right now, they don't have the space or any of that over there in their facility for us. You know, but we do still have land set aside over by Target over there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, I don't know what the status of it is, but there is, I think, 10 acres set aside for a new police facility.
Well, like I said, next agenda, let's keep that under old business, maybe even add a line item for facility study, just to keep it in everybody's minds.
Yep. Yeah, I'd like to keep talking about it, because this is one of those things that you got to talk and talk and talk until finally we can get it done when a window opens up. And
it's, I don't want to be a that you have a police station in between.
I don't want to be a surprise to everybody if we do see a window that when we bring it up, I want everybody to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And then what's the quick number on a new facility?
What's the Swiggle fan?
$4.39.
Good God. Well, Oswego's a little uppity. You and your brass handles.
Yeah, I think when we were in 08, I think they were looking in the 20 to 25 mil range back then. But that
was
got to
pay their own taxes too. Yeah. So.
Wow. Okay. Any other discussion on the staffing and needs here? Okay. All right. Additional business. Anybody have anything? Zero. Joel?
Nope.
I have one item.
Okay.
I want to talk about fireworks briefly. Fireworks are driving us crazy. It's driving all of our neighbors crazy. I don't know if you heard Spy and all the local media this 4th of July. It seems to be getting a little worse every year. And we're pulling our hair out with all these big fireworks. You know, these big commercial grade ones that are going off at 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning. And they're hard to catch because they'll send one or two off and then they run and hide. And it doesn't seem we can catch them. And we've been looking at what our neighbors are doing and some of the stuff. Montgomery gained some attention with what they're doing. And we had already talked to Kathy. And Kathy is not comfortable with doing what Montgomery's doing. They're talking about adding the fines into their water bills and stuff. And Kathy doesn't believe we can do that. And there were some other issues that they had too. So we did check with Oswego. And they basically had the same ordinance we do through their adjudication process, but they have heftier fines. I believe before 10 at night is $500,
yes,
and then after 10 at night is $700 fine. And we don't list ours out like that, but they still have problems in Oswego too with the bigger numbers. So I just want to let all of you know that we are doing some research. We're trying to come up with something that will work. Myself personally, and it's not anything to do with the city, but I know there has been talk in Springfield about legalizing fireworks, and that might take a lot of the mystery away for people wanting to drive to Indiana and Missouri and go buy this stuff. And, you know, I think then it gets easier to regulate it after 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, but that problem is not going to go away.
Yeah, we need to keep this discussion going. You know, to me, as long as I've been around, 4th of July, you expect it. You know, I don't care how many police you have, I don't care how much publicity you give it, people are still going to go out there, buy them illegally, and do them. Okay. What irks me is we still have them. I'd say 3 weeks ago, boom, middle, you know, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Why? You know, to me, that's the guy I want to go after.
Yeah, it's those professional grade mortars that just rock the whole town when they go off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just they're hard to catch them. They know that when they light those things off, they got 5 minutes before we're there.
Right.
You know, and neighbors, you know, they can pack everything up and disappear. You know, we've even had them going like in cul-de-sacs in their vehicles, jumping out and doing it and loading up. They don't even live there. You know, that's that kind of a game to them.
The idea of generating sales tax, yeah, selling fireworks and then fining the hell out of them is pretty brilliant. But it's also really strange.
Yeah.
Like, there are other things that you can legalize and actually tax the hell out of and see a revenue and help people. But, yeah, that's...
I'd like to know the number.
That's weird.
Of the people that go to other states, yeah, and what they're spending on fireworks, you know, that could be staying right here. And they're going to do it no matter what. If they're going to Indiana to buy them, you know what, it doesn't, they're going to get them.
When you hear them advertising on our radio stations to come to Indiana and buy fireworks, they're making money.
That crazy Kaplan stuff. I mean, I get the catalogs. Not that I've ever bought at least fireworks.
I get it too.
But their catalogs, I mean, you can buy a package of a half hour. Like, they'll tell you, this will last you a half hour, which is pretty decent for like $800. A half hour for $800.
Well, when we used to have the tents setting up in town, that was a headache. Because you never know what they're selling half the time.
Well, they were selling illegal stuff out of them. That's why we changed the ordinance. And that one over there on 71 in LaSalle County, off of 52, I get people calling all the time saying my kid went there and bought bottle rockets. You know, and every time you drive by there, there's people in line and they're waiting to get in those tents. You know, and yeah, my kids were out there last summer with my mother-in-law and came back and said, they sell real stuff over there. I'm like,
only when you're the sheriff.
Yeah. All right, is that what you're
talking about? That's it. I just, you know, if anybody hears of anything or sees anything, let me know, please. And we are looking into it, and you know, I just want everybody to be aware of that.
I'm just calling my neighbor, he puts his uniform on and goes down the block and has discussions with the culprits.
You know, and nine times out of ten, that's what we try to do. If we have neighbors complaining and we just can't catch them, we just tell us where they're at, we'll go knock on the door. And we just go up and say, hey, we're trying to, you know, alleviate headaches for you and for us. We know you're doing it. If we have to sit out here and catch you, we're going to recommend a maximum fine, which we've done before.
Doesn't work unless you have the uniform.
Yeah, we have told people that we would, you know, and when I was lieutenant, I actually did go to the hearing and ask for a $700 fine on a guy, and because I had warned him personally, and the hearing officer gave him a $700 fine.
Larry, you have anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, meeting adjourned.